We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, the great, the powerful, the unemployed, Rohan Nadkarni.
True. All true. All true.
you're that unemployed friend on a Tuesday meme.
It's weird to do this, since we're in a group chat together now. And it's like, I don't even know how to have a conversation with you that's not just referring to the text we send to each other every day.
Yeah, no, and Ro knows that if you think I'm a massive hater on Twitter, I'm even worse. Indeed, I'm just mean.
Yes, it's true.
Pure hatred. Yeah. And somehow Cortez is a bigger hater. Just what do you... Who?
Cortez is... The one thing I hope people know about Ryan Cortez is it's not a bit. That man is who he appears to be.
It is not a bit. That man, whatever he gives publicly is who he is in private. And I think, Rohan, you would say that I'm the same too, except maybe a little worse.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Everyone. Yeah. That's a fair way to put it.
So, Ro, we have a game and a series to talk about. The news coming out of today, Terry Rozier ruled out for Wednesday game four for Miami. Duncan Robinson looks to be okay to play. And a new injury to the list, Jaime Jaquez Jr. is not going to play, has a hip thing.
Didn't even make the trip.
Can't even make the trip. Although Jimmy's not making the trip and neither is Josh Richardson, which they're all mailing it in. So add Jaime, a third starter with Jimmy, with Rozier and now him to the injury list, and the aforementioned Duncan Robinson, who's playing through injury. You know, he's also kind of banged up, but he'll be ready to go. And Ro, you told me, because I missed this news, Kristaps Porzingis has a calf strain similar to Giannis with the Bucks injury, and he's going to miss some time for the Celtics.
Yeah, they said it's the soleus strain, which is the same one that Giannis had. That's a Woj report. And he's expected to miss at least the next several games. I mean, those Cavs are tricky, man, because we all remember, obviously, vividly what happened to Kevin Durant when he came back from that calf strain, tearing his Achilles during the NBA Finals. I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen to Porzingis, but I think a lot of people, his reaction to that injury when it happened live looked like what a lot of people react like when their Achilles is torn. So I think they're going to be cautious. I can't imagine they're too worried about it in terms of how it affects this series. And frankly, I think Boston's in a good position where if they win game five going into next series, even against either Orlando or Cleveland, I think they should be in a position to survive. I think if they make the conference finals is when it's going to be interesting to see if he's available or not. But yeah, it's the Heat especially are just a complete mash unit right now.
I mean, let's start with them, and then we'll kind of get into what both teams are going to kind of look going forward with the injuries added to the list. Rohan, Miami shot like 2% from three in the minutes that mattered. They had a little run at the end in, you know, the fakest comeback of all time, as we talked about at Hangover Time yesterday. But maybe we could extrapolate a little bit more from that than we thought, because without Porzingis, that obviously changes Boston's defense. So, you know, Horford in a much deeper drop than Porzingis. He's almost below the free throw line a lot of the time on Boston's drop coverage. Obviously, Luke Kornet is going to be a target on defense who's going to have to sink deep to the paint, not the defender that Porzingis is either. And hopefully kind of Bam can help take advantage of those matchups. But I think the centers are kind of front and center here because, you know, without Porzingis in the lineup and more Horford, you know, Miami obviously struggling to play Kevin Love. Imagine game in an elimination game. It's going to be heavy, heavy Bam minutes. Bro, I thought Miami got really good looks. I thought that they ate the drop space really well. I thought that they attacked on pull-ups really well. They just missed everything. Their defense has survived. Their offense has not. And I don't know if this injury to Porzingis is going to give them a little life to maybe steal game five in Boston and possibly give it another go back here in Miami.
I mean, it's a tall order. I'd feel better about it if they had even one of Jimmy, Terry, or Jaime. Even if they had a healthy Duncan. Duncan played, what, 3 minutes?
Had an assist.
In game four, had an assist. But, I mean, Duncan looks like a shell of himself, a shell of the player who was a huge factor for the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Huge minutes in the fourth quarter. That player's not there. They missed Terry. You can say they got good looks, and I agree. You know, Stan Van Gundy was kind of going on and on about the looks the Heat got. The issue is these are looks the Celtics are going to happily give up to the shooters that are taking them. Like, Haywood Highsmith is getting good looks. As much improvement as Haywood has made as a shooter, Boston's going to live with that. They're going to live with the Jaime threes. They're going to live with the Caleb threes even. They're going to live with the Caleb mid-range pull-ups. I think all these guys are being asked to play above their roles right now, a little bit above their talent. If it all goes right like it did in game two, it can look good. And that was still a close game with all the threes that Miami hit. So I think it's very tricky. It's going to be a tall order. I think offensively, I'm more interested in how Porzingis being out affects Boston because, you know, Horford can do a lot of the things that Porzingis does. He'll post up a smaller player. He will space out to the three-point line and shoot. He just doesn't do those things as well as Porzingis. You know, you can contest an Al Horford three-pointer a little bit easier than a Kristaps one because he's not as tall, because the Reese is not quite as quick.
And the release is not as fast. Yeah,
yeah. You can survive a little bit with a smaller player on him at the post compared to Kristaps because the height advantage is not as big. So it might be a little bit easier to defend. But as you mentioned, defense hasn't been the problem for Miami. Boston's offense has been, I wouldn't say kept in check. They've still had some great moments and, you know, games one and three, they were really on fire. But the issue is I just still don't see where the Heat gets scoring from. And especially now with Jaime out, they probably start Haywood. And I don't see how they score enough.
I'll give you this stat. So I'm going to give you two. One from Sean Grande of Palm Beach Post. Is it Grande or Grande? Who's
are you talking about the Boston Celtics radio play-by-play guy?
Is that who he is? And I just saw PBP and I thought that was Palm Beach.
No, he's play-by-play. I think his name is Sean Grande, like the most Boston pronunciation.
I made him Hispanic.
That is so funny that you made him.
I read PBP.
You look at his profile photo.
I just did right now.
It is one of the whitest men possible.
No, yeah, that guy belongs, you know, that guy belongs behind a news desk.
Somewhere. That is so good. Sean Grande. You heard that? That is so good. Yeah.
So it's Grandy?
I believe it's Grandy, and I believe he is the voice of the Boston Celtics.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense, play-by-play. Okay, well, so Sean, courtesy to Sean Grandy, he tweeted out kind of Miami's numbers through four games in this series with Bam on and off. When Bam Adebayo, you know, in the 157 minutes with Bam on the floor, the score is 323-319 with Boston up by four. In the 35 minutes without Bam, 98-58. in Boston's favor. And that kind of like lends to, I mean, we see what a disaster the Kevin Love minutes are.
It's not even that Love individually has been terrible, but he cannot play in this series because he has to play zone and it's a non-starter, which I'm sure you were about to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was going to say. Like the zone what I was going to now say is, so Cooper Moorhead talks about the Heat's pick and roll defense when they drop, show, or blitz in picks in the 35 screens that they've defended without Bam, that they do one of those things. They're allowing 1.56 points per possession. When Bam does it, 0.87 points per possession. So huge difference there. I mean, Boston's getting almost over a point and a half on any action, on any screen action that's defended without Bam. And then when they switch, I mean, Miami's killing it. Boston scoring 0.75 points per possession off 77 picks. Again, this is courtesy of Cooper Moorhead. And they've allowed 1.52 points per possession in 27 zone possessions. So really, I think it comes, you know, what all those numbers tell us, bro, is Bam is the only playable center for Miami this series. We are once again back at Bam does not have a backup that can survive in the playoffs. They're going to have to draft the center.
It really is difficult because, you know, and I think a lot of GMs ascribe to this theory. And I think like Daryl Morey is like famously one of them, but it's like, yeah, you can't invest or you have to be careful about where you invest, you know, behind a guy that's going to play a ton. And so the Heat, I think right for you, like Bam's going to play 36 minutes a night in the regular season, 40 to 45 minutes a night in the playoffs. It makes sense that they're not paying someone $15 million to be his backup. At the same time, they are in such a tricky position because Love has been really solid for them this year. In fact, for a lot of this season, the offense only worked when Kevin Love was on the floor because of his three-point shooting.
And his passing.
And the defense, the zone is held up against a lot of teams. But it just won't hold up against this Boston team that's almost always playing five shooters at once and is incredibly well prepared for this zone. It's just
all guys
the worst.
Who can pass the ball too, like Tatum, Brown, Derek White, Porzingis, Horford, all these
Holiday,
guys can move.
Yeah. It's
Holiday.
It's the worst case scenario for the Heat, the worst matchup, like true strength on weakness. I don't even know what they do now, because last game, like I was saying in our text, I understand Spo does not have good options. I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is how you should do it, Eric Spoelstra. And I'm sure
he has.
Yeah, I'm confident he has reasons that we're not privy to. But I'm shocked last game they played Kevin Love at all. I'm shocked they played zone at all. I thought they would play Haywood and Nico. Essentially,
they opened with zone.
I think the zone that first possession was just a Fugazi in case Boston has scripted play to against the Heat's man-to-man defense. You know, because they only did it one possession. I think that was a. You know, I think that was to throw a curveball on literally the first possession. And that
could
was
be
it.
Also, but like if we lose the tip, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just don't know what they do now, because even the Haywood Nico plan, now that becomes a lot more difficult when you lose a wing player in Hawkes. They're going to have to draft a center. They're going to have to find a way to get someone back there, similar to what Denver found in the playoffs, going with Aaron Gordon at the backup five. Obviously, you're not going to get anyone near as good as Aaron Gordon, but you have to find a similar solution.
Well, that's really what they did with Tucker in 22, where they just said, okay, well, PJ, you're the backup five, which works out. And that, I think that's always really what Spoelstra has wanted to do. I mean, Jay Crowder played backup five in the bubble run. Yeah. Like he has always kind of wanted a wing that can play backup center, because really they want to switch in the playoffs. And we've talked about that all year, that they're playing a ton of drop, but when rubber hits the road, they're going to want to switch. And they do, and they don't. And already you're playing Patty Mills, so your defense is compromised when he's hard showing on any screen. And he's like almost chest bumping. He's going really out. Have you seen? He'll like make sure that he goes, in the words of John Karate, chest to chest.
He's making the show of the show.
He's really out there. And I agree with you, man. I don't know what their options are. Jimmy not being there, because Jimmy at the wing really provides that extra size and defensive help at the nail that you're going to need with these smaller lineups. I don't really know. I mean, DeLon doesn't give you, I mean, what you could play like a lot of DeLon and Caleb to kind of help those center minutes, those Bamless minutes, but really those guys aren't giving you enough offense. And that's kind of been the MO with this team is like, okay, well, can we get enough offense? And really to survive on defense, you can't. To your point about the zone, Boston doesn't even give you that kind of dribble penetration that you want to use the zone for. I feel like Miami uses a lot of zone to muck up teams that get to the paint with these faster guards or with huge post presence like Embiid or like Jokic. Boston doesn't have any of that. They have their wings post up most of the time, and they have picked their zone apart.
Yeah,
I don't really see at this point. And the zone is only to protect Hauser. Love.
They find Hauser in the corner open every time.
And that's off relocation.
Yeah.
That's off. It's off a lot of stuff that they're doing, and it's like Miami. I think we went over that after game one. It's just untenable for the Heat, and I think that their man and kind of loading up on the strong side of the ball, kind of shading, helping but not helping, kind of having like Caleb, you know, kind of play in between the guy on the wing and whoever's at the elbow or whatever. I think that's really worked for them. I think Boston, when they get dribble penetration, has created havoc for Miami.
Yeah.
Bam has often had to guard two people in that scenario, but thankfully it doesn't happen too often. And it's ultimately like what Boston's weakness is that they don't do that enough. But if you're the Heat, Rohan, I don't know where you find offense. And I think ultimately like these guys, and it's like, we're at a point in the series where I don't really think Eric Spoelstra has any cards to play on offense. Mm-hmm. You guys just got to hit shots. And yeah. I felt that way a little bit with this press conference because he's just like, we're doing enough on defense. Our guys just gotta like, we gotta like find that extra 5%.
Right. He's like, I think we have it in us. I think he's kind of just like, man, if they make a couple more shots in the first quarter, it's gonna get a spark and guys are gonna get confidence and maybe people get hot. I think that's kind of what he's counting on.
He's done tactically. Like they've done what they can do. They're getting the looks because what you said is right. Boston's giving them those looks, and this offense cannot be choosy with the looks that with the open looks that they get. So they're like, we gotta Haywood, Caleb, Haim is not even there anymore. Patty, although man, Patty's getting blocked off handoffs. I mean, I don't know.
Shout out to Patty Mills, man. Great career, great national team career, and for a long time was a difference maker in the NBA, but is just not really someone
and champion.
Yeah, and champion, a worthy champion, is just not really someone who should be getting playoff minutes in 2024, and he's out on the floor in the first quarter. It's tough.
Chat wants Cole Swider. It's over.
Yeah.
I take him over, Patty.
I do think Nico needs to play 40 minutes in game five.
I don't understand why Nico only played 22 minutes.
What's up, guys? It's Pablo the intern here, and I know I'm interrupting your podcast, but we have to talk about the company Unified Healing that is sponsoring today's episode. You may be wondering, what is the Unified Healing? Well, I'm about to tell you. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System for short. This technology is perfect whenever you're tired, you need some relaxation, or you just want to feel good. G and I already had the pleasure of visiting one of the centers here in Miami, and my God, it was amazing. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/heatbeat. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
I don't understand.
That was a little baffling that he never got back in the game in the first half. And it wasn't even like, you know, you could point to like this mistake he made that was so egregious or so out of line with the mistakes he normally makes.
I agree. I was a little surprised.
But again, we're obviously not privy to the exact reasons why Spo makes a decision that he makes.
What's the point of all of this if he's not going to play?
Yeah, I don't disagree. And he, like...
So DeLon can get minutes?
It always frustrates me. And again, I'm sure NBA coaches have their reason, and they never really want to fully explain this, but the nominal starter thing, like that Luke Babbitt position where someone plays 8 minutes in each half. I'm like, why? What purpose does it serve? And, you know, they are so dogmatic to their rotations, this and that, whatever. But you look at the guys who are playable this next game, the starting five is probably going to be Tyler, Caleb, Haywood, Nico, and Bam. D'Lon off the bench. Maybe you try to play Love for 3 minutes. But I think it's going to have to be like six guys playing 40 minutes, and that's all you have.
Can you play Love when they have... play Cornette? Like,
that's going to be their only chance. And, you know, Love is going to have to show on some screens and get back to Cornette. And I think that's their only hope. But
I would just switch that depending on who's the handler and then just send help off the drive. But then you're in rotation. There's no real answer.
I mean, I was going to say you want Love to switch. I'd prefer Love and drop at that point and, you know, hope your guys like Caleb and Haywood or whoever the case may be can fight over the screen. For literally, you know, 3 to 4 minutes, and that's that, and you live with what happens in those 3 to 4 minutes. But I mean, Nico's gonna have to play. I really think he's gonna have to play 40 minutes.
They need a ball handler. I mean, at this point, you're like, Duncan used to ball handle for them. He's barely making it. You know, Tyler obviously ball handles, DeLon ball handled, but Hawkins was another guy who was kind of running your offense, as Chat says. You look like you're in a strip mall church.
Maybe I am.
I was the pod audience. I told Ro he looked like he was at witness protection.
It's a very hostagey setup. It's a very hostagey setup. Strip mall church is fantastic. Definitely like the weird side room of the temple.
Absolutely.
While everyone's actually praying somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry I distracted. That was just so funny. Yeah, man, they just don't. The options are there, but they're not there. And again, I rewatched the game today. I didn't even tweet about it. I was like, there's not much here that's tactically there. I think that, you know, Miami's could get a little bit more dribble penetration, but I thought Stan Van Gundy put it really well last night. Tyler Hero's assist numbers look really bad because people are missing open shots.
Yeah.
Well, and I was mad at Bam. I think that this is a time, and Alf last night said, well, who's setting Bam up? At this point, man, you need to have one of those games like you had against Brooklyn where you just get 40 off of
being in the mid-block. Bam has been as aggressive as you want him to be one-on-one. And I was surprised to see that his true shooting was what it was. It's not like fantastic. I think it's somewhere around 57 in this series. And I think he ended up shooting about 50% from the field in game four. I mean, Porzingis is, it's not like Bam struggles with him, but his length is not easy, especially when, you know, there's just no good options, really. There's not even like a threat of him passing the ball, or it's a tough matchup. And I think obviously you'd want Bam to have a game where every jumper falls and maybe he scores, like you said, 36. Well, they had that already. Or something. Yeah, but he's being as aggressive as he can be. It's tough seeing it over and over again, but there's just no good options offensively for them right now.
They don't, but that means that he has to like make wine out of water. And it's like, he's not that kind of offensive player, but at this point, like who else are they going to turn to? Because Tyler doesn't have he has physical limitations that, you know, he's going to have to deal with. And Tyler has to he has to start hitting pull-ups because he hasn't. And that's another thing, because that's available to him, particularly that mid-range at the elbow. He has to hit that. He has not shot the ball.
He has to let it fly. Yeah,
I think he's played well. I just think that he hasn't shot well enough. And unfortunately, like they need that more than almost anything, because that'll give life to their half-court offense.
For sure. It is, as much as we love Bam, and as much as I think he's still somehow underrated, going one-on-one for a full 48 is never going to be the kind of offensive player he is. And that's why he's not like Embiid or Jokic, you know, that's why he's in that next tier down. But if he's got one in him, game five's got to be it.
Just bring it home. Why can't these people win a game at home, man? When was the last fucking hole?
Last like, time you felt great about them at home? And even this regular season, they were terrible at home.
Game
they
three.
Lost to Memphis at home. Yeah. It's
game three it's, when Jimmy hit him with the.
Yeah, that was an. They I felt need alive. They need a team that at least is like, we're dominating on our home floor. That's all I ask from them for at least next season is get a team that dominates on your home floor.
Dude, I want to say this with you here because I don't like tweeting this because I don't like giving people ammunition. Those crowds have sucked.
It's been tough. And you know, like you said, we talk about it in a group chat. Like, yes, there are serious logistical issues in getting to the arena that make it tough.
And especially when you're coming from the late. North. Yeah.
Yes, I lived in Broward growing up. I know what it's like to try to get to a Heat game. If it started at 7:30, we'd have to leave at like 5. And, you know, that's if we were lucky and you're done with work on time. Otherwise, you're just stuck on 95 for God knows how long, even if you're in the express lane. Like, I know we're getting hyper local here, but it's tricky. And look, I thought the fans actually did a good job trying to pick the team up last night during lulls.
Yeah.
You know, once everyone was finally there, I don't feel like the fans gave up on the team last night. And it's been tough without
Jimmy. They did
after
the tech. They did after the tech.
Yes.
After the flagrant foul.
Yeah. And the dunk on Caleb, I think, was tough. You know, it's tough when there's no Jimmy and you kind of feel like it's over even before you walk into the building. But yeah, it's hard to have a normal conversation about the crowds here because national people just run with it in a way that's very unfair.
It is. And it's like last night, you know, like I saw that and I was disappointed. And I'm like, you know, the Saturday 6 p.m. start, there's no excuse. That one's a no excuse.
Yeah.
That one and that one, you come off a win. You know what I mean? You're coming off of a game two win. So I was like really upset and disappointed at our fans. I'm like, man, that just you gotta be ready. You go day drink downtown and then go ready to go. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's not, we don't have that. And that just stinks. Cause I do think the fans are good here. And I think you've seen evidence that building can get louder than almost any in the league. And it's just, we're just late arriving people. And I think Rohan, I don't know how it is. You know, with your family, my family was never on time to a single thing my whole life, you know? And I said that on Hangover Time yesterday. I was like, and Alpha's like, yeah, mine too. It's like, I've been to weddings that start 5 hours late, you know? It's like.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data. And a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's just the culture down here.
It's true. And it's just compounded by the fact that like the transportation to and from the arena is terrible. There's, you know, you can't get to it from multiple sides. And it's tough though, because I agree, like at its peak, that building can get really loud, but I've been at games in Philly, in Boston, in Denver, in Golden State, in Phoenix, where every single seat is filled to tip off. And the crowd is going nuts and it's different. It's different. And I want to see that here more often because when it happens down here, it's awesome.
It is. And it's like, I don't know. I just wanted to give a small section of the show for that. Cause I've been just really disappointed in that. And I'm like, and I can't blame people. I didn't want to go yesterday. I thought I was like, should I go to the game? And I said, fuck no, I'm not going. I'd rather do Hangover Time. I don't want to be there. I don't believe in them right now, but I also know not every fan is like me. You know, they're like, I think a lot of fans are like, we're going to get this. You know, they think we're going to win every game, which is a good mentality to have. Like you're there to be a fan and always believe in your team. And those are the people that lift the crowd the most.
Yeah. The Cortezes of the world.
Exactly. The Ryan Cortezes of the world. I just couldn't. And I don't, I gotta be honest, Rohan. I think if somebody offered me a free ticket, I don't think I would have gone.
Yeah, it would have been. It's like, it's one thing if you think they're gonna lose because they can't defend, but it's so much harder to watch when they can't score.
They try. They fucking play their ass off. Yeah. I mean, Caleb Martin, everybody's mad at Caleb. That guy plays his ass off.
He does, man. And he's asked to do a lot defensively. I think after Bam, he's kind of got the highest responsibility on the defensive end in a way ever gets recognized. And yeah, he's been asked to do a lot. And I think that he's almost had an underrated tenure here now because it becomes easy to make him like the scapegoat when he has a high profile mistake, but he gets asked to do a lot for this team.
He's a playoff hero. Like,
yeah.
He's that man, fucking a medal of honor. God damn it. That guy, Jimmy owes him a lot. I'll tell you that. He gets to use it a lot. So
free lattes for life at Big Face for Caleb Martin.
Have you had Big Face coffee?
I have. I've had it made for me.
Oh, that's right.
Personal barista.
From his personal, he didn't do it?
Yes. No, he did not.
Okay, so he had a real. Yeah, he had a real. I wonder how good Jimmy is as a barista. I question it. But that coffee's so good.
It is fantastic. And I've enjoyed it several times. I'll be honest. And it's quite good.
I've said this before on the pod, Rohan. He might be better at coffee than he is at basketball. he's great at basketball.
Yes, he is quite good at basketball. He's quite good at both.
He's quite good at both.
Yeah.
He's the GOAT. Do you know we had Solomon Hill on, and he told us about how Big Face worked and how that man is just a bit. He really made a bit into reality.
He really did. But that's just kind of his personality almost.
I miss him.
It's taking the bit so extreme that it's like, now I have a coffee business.
And it's great. It's not just like a ha-ha, yeah. It's a coffee.
He's like, I went to a farm in Colombia to cut coffee. Now it's like, yeah.
He's the GOAT, bro. Yeah. Got it. If they had him, I mean, they can't attack any of these small guys that Boston plays.
They don't have any switch beaters. I was banging the table that Boston was going to smoke this team no matter what.
Me too.
But I do think this series, seeing what the Heat have done defensively, I still think Boston would have won. It would have been more interesting than I was giving it credit for if Jimmy and Terry were healthy.
The worst part is that I don't think that like the Celtic fan base sees it that way, which bothers me because they're, you know, I'm with you. I think with or without Jimmy, this was going to be the case. I mean, they're missing Rozier too and a healthy Duncan Robinson. We might be having a different conversation. Wrong. Healthy Duncan, healthy Jimmy, healthy Terry. I don't know. Because not only is Terry a guy on ball, Terry's also like a good shooter.
Yeah, he would have helped in several ways.
And Tyler, I think, would benefit from being more of a spot-up guy at times than have to run. Because Tyler has barely been able to spot up this series, which I think his numbers are better as a spot-up guy than a pull-up guy this year. So, we'll see. Unfortunately, Rohan, I don't know if you have any kind of, as we get out of here, any kind of adjustments that you know either team can make going into game four.
The Heat got to do the press the make shots button. That's what they got to do.
That's an Akaya setting. Yeah, game two.
Just keep try to hit the game for make shots button again and hope that that's enough.
I think the loss of Jaquez is just going to be so detrimental because he provided
they don't
with real I'll just say, downhill they don't
have
juice.
Enough. Yes, they don't have enough.
That's the one that was like, oh boy, like that one.
Yeah.
If they had a chance, a lot of it was on him playing well. Right. I mean, they're going to need Nico to show you something tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need a big scoring downhill night from him. If I'm Miami, Rohan, I see what I can do by putting Horford and Cornette in the 4-5 pick and roll with him. You know, depending on who they defend him with, kind of given.
I like that idea.
That's what I would do because, you know, without Porzingis, who, you know, I think your Boston would be more comfortable with Porzingis. Because what I like that Boston did was they tried to funnel guys more into the lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were kind of forcing Hero and these guys to beat them one-on-one. Now, I don't think that's so much of an option because I just think that Cornette and Horford are just going to get beat off the dribble. you know, if given enough reps by Miami's guards, even if they're not the fastest or the best. So that's kind of, I think I like the wrinkle of them might trying to hide a guy on Jovic or maybe not one of the better defenders. And you kind of put him in or even him having a size advantage there as well. Boston might try to switch that. I don't know what they do, but I just think that any of that is favorable for Miami.
Hey, listen, at this point, worth a shot. You have nothing to lose. Let him run 10, 4, 5 pick and rolls as the ball handler and see what happens. Really, why not?
I joke that like he's not Lamar Odom, but maybe it's time to try to use him as Lamar Odom.
This is where like Spo's determination to win almost hurts him because I don't think he's like – he's obviously willing to try things, but I don't know that he's ready to go full like throw random shit at the wall and see what happens because he wants the game to be close. Like he's like conservative in the ways that he's aggressive. Like he won't actually be like, ah, screw it. Nico 50 pick and rolls in 45 minutes, but that's maybe what they should be doing. That's maybe what they should be doing in this game.
So one other thing that I think they should try in kind of the same breath as 4-5 pick and roll is they kind of go back to some of their big three offense and they run inverted horns where they have the four, in this case, Nico, run a horn set with kind of two screeners. One is Bam and one could be Tyler or another shooter and one roll and one pop. And I think you can actually like play around with Boston's defense because you cannot even spring Tyler roll and Bam pop or Tyler can kind of flare.
That's
out.
Interesting. I might, that might be something I try when Cornette's on the floor. I do think with Horford, they will be willing to switch. And that could be interesting. Another thing is it's like, if Nico's holding the ball at the top of the key for any amount of time, whoever's guarding him is going to be right up in his face.
Boston has been very aggressive and they're jumping out to him, which I think helps because that's where I think these sets go well because you kind of set those horn screens and you just go and, you know, Nico can't reject the pick as he fucking loves to do. So you're just kind of stuck on both sides. And if that other screener has to come help or they jump into that gap, now you open, okay, Bam pops or Bam rolls or Tyler's popping. And now you have a lot of motion in your offense and you can empty a corner and have a guy. I don't know. I just think that there's something on the table there if they trust Nico to do it. Maybe the answer is they're like, I think if we hit shots, we win the next game.
Right.
I think they bet if the game is tight, we win. Which I don't think that's that's a bad bet because I think that like if Boston gets tight, I do think there's going to be a little bit of a we should beat them. But
you know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying about Spo is I think part of the thing is he's not going to go over the top because he just wants to like keep it within striking distance more so than go for the knockout punch. You know what I mean?
We'll see. I mean, hopefully, Ro, we live. Will the zombie heat survive till dawn? You know, will they? Because eventually daybreak will come and they will disintegrate when the sun comes. But can they make it to then? We will find out Wednesday. Rohan, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure, man. I wish it was under more exciting circumstances. We got on top of just the series, the Jaime news. A bit of a bummer, but we'll see. We never know.
We never know. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully, listen, there might even be another round to talk about. Who's to say? Who's to say? Well, appreciate you, Ro. This is where I usually ask you where you find your work.
Just check out the tweets, because now that I'm not writing about the NBA currently, it's just all hate.
Let's go, baby.
It's just all me trying to set purposefully false narratives. Just truly,
we're so back.
Just laying the seed for things that are so clearly not true.
We gotta get you a Marlins hat, though.
I cannot support the Marlins right now. As much as I would love,
don't support the Dodgers.
Dude, the Dodgers are great. The Dodgers are run like how a professional sports team should be.
Nobody likes the Dodgers.
I'm gonna get you out to a Dodgers game in LA, and you're gonna see what the hype is about. Trust me. When the sun is setting over Dodger Stadium, you'll be like, okay, I get it.
They're just cheaters, man. Just root for the, if you're in California, root for the Giants at least.
No.
Love you, Ro. Thank you for your time, and thank you, Chad. And we'll see you. We'll see you tomorrow with Hangover Time. Peace.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.